Hello, and welcome to Maximize Your Strengths with certified strengths coach, Alyssa Dare Nelson. In this culture focused on weakness fixing, Strengths Finder 2.0 is the answer to explosive business growth and strong relationships. It's time to maximize your strengths.
Well, hello there. Welcome to episode 111 of Maximize Your Strengths. I'm your host, Alyssa Dare Nelson. If you're looking to achieve your potential, leverage all the things that make you amazingly you, and turn those things into success, this is the podcast for you. Now, before we dive in to today's episode, I have to share. I just got back from the Polka Dot Powerhouse Annual Celebration in Denver this last weekend. As you can hear, my voice is not quite up to par. Trust me, I tried everything to rejuvenate it before I recorded this. So I hope you can bear with me through this intro. The interview itself today, I promise you, my voice is normal. So Polka Dot Powerhouse, if you've never heard of it, is a women's connection company. That's what they consider themselves. And I didn't really get it until this last weekend. When I joined about 6 months ago, I did so for local networking purposes. Really, I wanted to get out of the house. I wanted to meet some people locally, and it seemed like a perfect fit. And so what I've learned about it since that time is that it is so much more than networking. And I had so much wonderful, deep connection, support, growth, masterminding, all with phenomenal women who are doing great things. I also had the honor of being a keynote at this event. And the talk I gave was about how owning the truth that each and every one of us is truly freaking awesome and being willing to say so isn't actually arrogant. It's our responsibility. We have a responsibility to shine bright. And when we do that, we give others the permission to do that as well. And so it doesn't detract from anybody else's light. It actually lifts everybody up. And a rising tide lifts all ships, right? So I got incredible feedback and I wanted to keep supporting these women. So I created a Facebook group where we are doing a 5-day challenge to solidify that truth. And it starts today. So today, October 9th, 2017. And if you're listening to this after that time, please go ahead and join. You can catch up. This particular group is a women's only group, but if I hear from enough of you men, I may just start a men's group as well. Okay, so go to daretosucceed.com/awesome. That's D-A-I-R-E, the number 2, succeed.com/awesome, and join in. Okay, now let me introduce today's guest. Catherine Kemp Guiley has inspired tens of thousands of individuals to be happier, healthier, and to have more fun. As the founder of Make Everything Fun, she is a coach, a teacher, speaker, and prolific author. Through her courses on making publishing fun, make nutrition fun, and make wellness fun, she helps others spread their own messages to make the world a better place. Catherine has received over a dozen awards for her writing and coaching work. She's been seen on ABC, CBS, Fox, NPR, and all sorts of other media outlets, and hosts 2 podcasts. So yeah, she's busy and she's awesome. And I've had the chance to hold her books in my hot little hands, and they really are absolutely phenomenal. I can't wait to introduce you to Catherine.
Oh, Catherine, thank you so much. Thank you for taking the time. I love talking to you. Every time I get to talk to you, it's a great conversation. And now we get to bring this to the Maximize Your Strengths audience, and I can't wait for you to share. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Alyssa. You are such a rock star, so spending time with you makes my day.
It's just, see, good. Like when you're around good people, it just elevates you and it makes you feel more positive and more hopeful and it expands your ideas. And this is why we listen to podcasts, isn't it, you guys? Because you get to be in the space of people who are thinking differently and have different strengths than you have and have different experiences that we can all really learn together. And whether you're listening on a podcast or whether you're talking in person, we get to lean into one another's strengths and just expand. And that's what I love. I love about this stuff. So we're going to talk all about your superpowers today, Catherine. And we're going to talk about you know, where you just really excel and what things kind of like, you know, things that suck for you, like just really are not so fun. And we'll talk about, you know, how we can put it all together so that you can do more of what you love and less of what you don't. And that is the key. That's the key outcome to maximizing your strengths. So why don't you share with us, if you would, what your top five StrengthsFinder themes are?
You bet. And I have to say, I love your work, Alyssa. I think this focus on strengths and really getting people to connect with what's right about them, what's good about their personality, and really how we can use them to be the best versions of ourselves is just brilliant. So I will go through my five and then we'll go from there. So number one is learner. Number two is achiever. Number three is futuristic. Number four is focus. And number five is maximizer.
Ah, so great. And people laugh at me because every time someone gives me their top five, I'm like, ah, those are the best top five in the world.
Well, like, that's you.
You say that every time. I'm like, I know. And it's true every single time because my top five for you would not look so good because they're not you. So, you know, you're an author, you're a podcaster, you're all of these things. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense to me. You can hear even just in your accomplishments, the learner and the achiever, right? I love that. And I'm really excited to hear about how your other themes have sort of shown up to you to serve you and maybe shown up to not serve you in some ways. Because that's a part of sort of maximizing our strengths, right? It's not just about paying attention to how we're wired. It's cultivating those strengths so that they serve us more and more and more and allow us to serve others in a better and better and better way. And so sometimes these strength themes, they go into overuse and they don't look so pretty, right? So I talk a lot about how your strengths can kind of come out sideways when you're triggered or when you're feeling frustrated or, you know, things aren't going well. Of course, with my positivity, I love to start with the positive. So what does it look like for you, Catherine, when you are sort of buzzing on all cylinders? I heard this great term at the retreat I was just at called resonant frequency. And it was Jeff Hoffman. He's the founder of Priceline.com. He was talking to us about how he had taken some sort of, and I'm not a car person, so I don't really understand all this stuff, but he'd taken some fancy car out where it was legal, where he could actually like unleash it. And he heard the car, like you could hear the car revving all the way up until he got to 130 miles an hour. And then he said that the car went silent. And we're all like, huh? And then he hit the gas a little more and you could hear the car again, but he slowed it back down to 130. It's crazy to say slowing back down to 130 and the car went silent and he was confused about it. And like, what's going on here? And he took it back to the manufacturer and he's like, so why did this happen? He said, oh, that's the resonant frequency. That's where the car was built to just run perfectly there. Everything is aligned in alignment and it's running perfectly. So like that is when like I heard that I was like, whoa, if that's not maximizing your strengths, I don't know what is, right? Like perfect example of that. So can you tell us a story of when you felt like you were at your resonant frequency where everything was just in perfect alignment?
You know, and I think that story of the car is really showing when and that car was in its flow, right?
Yeah.
So it's really about when we feel that flow, whether it's resonant frequency or it's flow. I totally know what you're talking about. So I'll start by saying that I'm in my third sort of big career of my life. So when I graduated with my MBA at the tender age of 25, I went right into management consulting and I did that for about 10 years. And that was so much fun. And I didn't even realize how my strengths played into that. But what I loved was the learning part, getting new projects, getting new clients, getting new problems and solving them and learning all the time. It was just such an incredible learning curve. And then I had kids and that's a whole nother story. And I had to revamp my career. And then I went into nonprofit and I built a very successful nonprofit called Nurture, which teaches nutrition education to kids and to families. And I did that for another about 10 years or so. And that was all about learning. But you asked about the flow. And so I'm in my third phase of my career. And this is really my entrepreneurial phase where I'm writing, I'm doing online courses, I'm coaching. And really it goes back to that number one strength, which is that, yes, I'm teaching. But as we know from Stephen Covey, when you teach something, it's when you learn it the best. So I'll think of a very recent time when I felt like that car, like that resonant frequency car, or like that flow for me. And it was just this summer when I was doing a cohort, an author cohort for Make Publishing Fun. And I had a couple dozen authors, aspiring authors in my group. And I was teaching them online and also through group coaching about how to realize their dreams as authors and how to move into what I call happy author land. So avoiding the pitfalls, really helping them, guiding them, allowing them to create a budget, make really wise choices. Because in my own author journey, I didn't always make the best choices. So I learned from that. Mm-hmm. So I found my flow when I was teaching this cohort. I just loved it. And then what I ended up doing is I got this, like you were talking about frequency. Like, I think there is this thing where we're like on a similar frequency and it becomes contagious. And I wrote another book this summer, which I actually did not expect to do, but I was so inspired by teaching that I was like, you know what? I want to be a student at the same time. Mm. And I ended up writing another book, and it's actually one of my very favorite books. I've written 6 books now, but this last one, which is called Make Nutrition Fun, it's going so well. And I think it's because I did it in that group setting.
Yeah, that's super interesting. So one thing about learner as a theme is that, you know, it's about the process of learning. I've shared before on the podcast that I was a little disappointed when I didn't have learner because I'm like, oh, I love to learn. I'm a lifelong learner, yada, yada. And then I realized, oh, wait, I don't love to learn. I love to know. Right? I love having knowledge, but the process of learning isn't what geeks me out. Right.
And I was disappointed that I didn't have positivity. Like, again, not always, because I'm like, but I'm the happy person, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not always what you think. And that's why I'm so obsessed with this work that you're doing, because I think it's super insightful.
Right. It is. And because when you can understand some of those nuances, because it doesn't mean that you're not a positive person. And who knows, maybe you have positivity at number 6, right? That's like right there, right in your hip pocket. But for me, that understanding of, well, this is why I get frustrated with the learning process and why I fail so quickly, right? And you know, they talk about failing fast, you know? It's because it's not for me about like this, like, oh, this is so fascinating how this is unfolding and how that this and this and that. I just want to know so I can get to that next level. So it's the positivity activator in me that wants to just know. And so it's like, oh, well, it's okay. I can forgive myself, right? For not wanting to have the process of learning. And for you, you know, what gives you joy, and this is another key thing. It's like we all find joy and fulfillment when we're using our strengths. So for you, being such a positive person, right? Futuristic maximizer, I can see how that positive would show up looking like positivity, right? Because you're like, how can this get better? Where are the opportunities, right? And where are the opportunities for the future? So you can see how those kind of come together, make a little strengths baby, and it shows up like positivity. And for me, you know, how my activator plus positivity or plus whatever other strength that might be, or strategic maybe, looks like it could be learner, but it's not. So when you understand those nuances, now you can go, oh, okay, so it's okay for me to rush through this learning process and get as much as I need to know in order to take action, because the learning process isn't as much of the point as learning through failing or learning through experience or, you know, just moving on to the next step of the process. And then you can go, oh, all right, good. So someone else, like if this is something that really does need to have like a full vetting, like let's learn the process, I'm going to engage somebody like you, Catherine, who can say, all right, Alyssa, so the next time you write your book, let's do this a little differently, right? let me help you with that. Now I can lean into your strengths for writing my next book. right?
And that's part of that maximizer, I guess. And I'm obsessed with that whole going from good to great. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, a lot of people have, you know, for example, great or good books, but they could be great. And sometimes it's just this tiny little tweak that can make something great. And I love finding what that tweak is.
Yeah. Yeah. So, so great. So, you know, and I think as you were talking about, you know, going through this process with your students and being so engaged in that process, right? Because again, learners love to teach because it's about the process of learning. You know, I wonder if your achiever kicked in. You're like, I can do this one more time, right?
My number two, yeah.
Yeah, right, exactly. So then that achiever's like, oh, like I can check that off my list, you know, and get something accomplished here. So with your achiever, I'm curious, you're a very focused, goal-oriented person. You told me that in the pre-chat. And you said, you know, I love that focus piece, which is your number four. I'm wondering how your focus and your achiever sort of come together, because it can look like, I imagine it looking like, then add your futuristic in there and you're like laser focused on, you know, this future giant goal. What does that look like to you with regards to getting into a project? Like as you're starting a book, like maybe take us briefly through your book writing process. Like what does that look like? Did you choose a topic and then like, you know, here's my list of things I need to get done. And then the maximizer comes in on the tail end to look backwards and go, okay, now how can I make this better? What does that look like for you?
Well, it's such a great question because it really has me looking at this most recent book creation process. And again, it started with me teaching and having this really on my mind and really being focused on how to create a wonderful, profitable page-turning book. And then the achiever, of course, kicks in and it says, wait a minute, Catherine, you have a lot of content already. And it happened to be that in my cohort of 24, I had 3 gals that were a registered dietitian. So they were wanting to write books about nutrition and they were feeling really stuck. And so I was trying to get them through their sticking points. And then I went back and I looked at my content and I thought, wait a minute. Okay. It's all about structure. It's like the human body. If you have a really good bone structure, then you can get your organs in place and the tissues and the muscles and the tendons and all that. But if you don't have your bones in the right order first, then it becomes like, can you imagine trying to create a human body from the feet up, mm-hmm. like just piling stuff in there? So what I did, and you asked about the process, is I thought about what would be fun. And one of the students said to me, Catherine, they're showing right now that 30 days is sort of a great way to think about making a change. And so I was like, okay, well, I could do 30 days of content. That's going to be the structure of my book. I want something a little bit more catchy because it's for moms with young kids. So thinking about the target market. And then I made it into an alphabet and I went through all of my content. And that was the fast part. That was the achiever part. Like I went through my content and I organized it. It was an Excel spreadsheet and it was all kind of charted out. This is how I was going to do 30 days. There's only 26 days or letters in the alphabet. So I had some days for, you know, sort of integration and organization. And then I organized all my content in that spreadsheet. And that was my achiever. And I will tell you, it was really interesting. So then I put the book together pretty quickly because I repurposed a lot of content that I already had. It was that maximizer that came back and said, oh, you really need to add some recipes and you need to have some downloads. And oh my gosh, wouldn't it be great if you could do the 30-day automation where you're sending your readers like an activity or a recipe every day? That stuff ended up, that maximizer ended up creating a lot of work for me, let me tell you. Right. But ultimately, I do think that book went from like a really cool, get it done quickly because I was repurposing content to kind of the product of the maximizer by having all this back end stuff where I was linking to interviews that supported the reader if they wanted to go further and linking to activities and recipes. And I went back and I'm like, I'm really proud of this.
That's so cool. So it's interesting because your maximizer, I think, showed up a couple of different places here. And I don't know if you guys heard it or not, right? But if you heard Catherine say, well, I got all this content and I just needed to like repurpose it and put it together. Maximizer loves taking version 1.0 and creating 2.0. So I love that because, and that was an easy button for you, right? Maximizer all on its own, not combined with other themes, typically has a difficult time creating something from nothing, right? So creating a book from content that you already had, or sort of a backlog of information you already had, that was its easy button. Like, totally, I can do that. Versus if you're creating a book from new, and I also heard it when you talked about the skeleton, right? If you are trying to create and put together bones from the toes and then the heel and then that, like, your body doesn't work that way. But if you can create, if you have the structure of the body, right, to go on with that metaphor, now you can fill it in with all the right things and the organs and the this and the that. That skeleton is version 1.0. So if you've got Maximizer in your top five, look for the skeleton. Where can you find that outline? If you're going to be writing a book, and maybe this book has been sitting in your heart for years, maybe, right? Just write the outline. It doesn't have to be good. It's just version 1.0. Just write the outline and then go back and start to fill some of the things in, because your Maximizer is going to have a very, very difficult time, you know, starting from the intro and then chapter one and chapter two. So if you can get that skeleton in place, now your Maximizer has something to work with. And then the question on the tail end is, how do you tell Maximizer, enough's enough?
Ooh, that's
so
hard.
What was that place for you? Was it a deadline that made you go, okay, no more downloads, we're not creating any more recipes, this is finished? What was your this is done moment?
Well, and I'm going to think back. I think it was Borges, is he Argentine or Chilean? He's a South American writer that I followed very closely when I was in college. And I actually took translation classes. And what we found is that writing and editing is never done. Mm-hmm. And in fact, translation is the same thing. Like, you could translate something over, you know, you could continue to tweak until infinity. And so that was really good for me to hear when I was young, because I can have that tendency, maybe it's the Maximizer, that wants to just continue to tweak. But there's this diminishing marginal returns, you know, that I learned about in economics. And so I think of the Borges quote, and I think of the economic principle of, you know what? This is when it's not that you're wasting your time, but you're not getting the most, you're not maximizing your time.
Yeah.
Adding those little tweaks. So you just kind of have to say enough.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's such great advice. Thank you for that so much.
And deadlines.
Deadlines are great, mm-hmm. right? Deadlines are great for Activator too, just as a side note. I want to sort of shift just a little bit, because when we're not living in our strengths, our worlds can look overwhelming. They can look like, you know, total energy drain and ick. And we all have it, because we all get stuck in that. Oh, I got to do this thing over here. And it just, I don't, it's not something I want to do. So maybe we procrastinate on it. But either way, it sucks energy out of us. And that is one of the best gauges that we know we're not living in our strengths. But one thing that I have really learned about strengths is, again, it's not about ignoring the things that you're not. It's important to know where your sort of weaknesses are, or areas that of energy drain are, so that you can engage the strength themes that you have to do that thing better, or to just get, you know, if you can, delegate it off. So, Catherine, what are the things, or what is the thing that sucks the energy out of you, that you just, you know, that you find yourself that you have to do either for your business? And this is a very real thing for solo entrepreneurs, because we're supposed to wear 15 different hats, right? And like, oh, it's all these things. So you can either delegate it, but it's, you know, it's your baby too. So delegation's difficult. And, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, great, delegate, but to whom, right? So can you share with us a story about energy drain? What is that for you?
And it's such a real thing that we all need to keep in mind. Energy drain can come from relationships. It can come from tasks. And there is one thing we all need to conserve, and that's energy. So what drains my energy? And it's really funny, because it's consistent across my entire career. And that is when I've been working on something for a while, and it goes back to that whole sort of the marginal returns after a while become diminishing. And so back in the consulting world, like, it was so much fun when we were starting a new project and we were working through the difficult details and we were creating solutions and we were starting to implement them. But it was that, you know, if it was a 8-month project and then maybe the client wanted to tack on like a 9th and 10th month, and it was just sort of the like loose little nitty gritty ends, that kind of drove me a little bit crazy. Now, of course, I did it because it's my job, but I find that also today. So again, I love book launches. I love getting the word out there. I love doing those initial book talks and really just sharing the messages because I'm all about making this world a better place. When it comes to like the book's already been out for a year and I need to follow up with these emails or send it out, you know, I give those things to my VA because otherwise I would be an unhappy person.
So, so smart. And what I hear in that a bit, right, is part of the reason that it may drain you is A, you've got this futuristic, right? So it is future thinking. Right. And so we don't often look to the past, and especially if it's a project that feels like it is, should be, or is done. And then you have to kind of revisit it. It's like, but we're looking forward. And I say we, because futuristic is my number one theme, as you may know. And, you know, it's also that achiever, right? So you need to check the things off and then move on to the rest. Now there are themes like deliberative, which is like an analytical, which will look back and make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. And there's context. Text, which is as much of an opposite strength to futuristic as we have opposite strengths. You know, not all strengths are opposite, but context likes to look back and like, hey, what did we learn here? How can we make, you know, version 2.0 better by looking at the past? So it shows up sometimes like Maximizer, right? But if we don't learn from our past, we're doomed to repeat it. One of those kinds of things. And that's how context works. So it might be that you have possibly some of those strengths that are in your blind spot. But how can you engage your strengths that you do have in order to make those things fun? You know, like maybe it is the achiever, where as a part of your book launch process that you have the check mark, right, that says, all right, 3-month follow-up, where are we tracking? You know, all of those things that you need to do post-launch, if you have that all on sort of a list, then you know that those things need to be done and it feels good to check those things off. Where I think you're really, really smart is that you do take those things like, that's just boring. Like there's more things that we can, because it doesn't engage your learner, right? It doesn't engage your focus. It really doesn't engage your maximizer. Yes, you might be following up and then creating more book sales or, you know, et cetera, but really doesn't engage any of those things. So no wonder it's kind of just boring. But if you can delegate that to a VA to get those things accomplished and say, here's my list that my achiever created for you. And now if you can get those things done, that'd be great because you know they're an important part of the process, but they're not engaging. And so I really want people to focus on, as you're listening, I want you to kind of think of the things that drain you and see, does it absolutely have to be done by me? If the answer is yes, look at your top five and go, how can I do this thing that excites these themes? Right. And if it doesn't absolutely, shadow of a doubt, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have to be done by you, you know, immediately delegate those off. Trust me, it is worth the $20, $30, $40, $50, $60 an hour you're going to pay an executive assistant or an office manager that will get those things done for you, because now you can free up your time to engage your strengths, which is where you're going to maximize your ROI on your time investment. And that ROI shows up as dollar signs, you guys. So it's worth that delegation when you can.
I love it. I love it. And it already sounds more fun to be able to look out into the future and not be doing all these loose little ends.
Yes, exactly. Well, that was really helpful to hear about your process and that. I would love to see some of your lists about the process from start to end on writing a book. I think that would be so great. And even post-launch, because for me, when I wrote my book, I was like, oh, good. Book is done. And like the real work starts.
I know. That is the afterwards. Tough part. Yep. So you really do almost have to have a new starting line for us, you know, futuristic folks. You almost have to say, okay, this is the next future. It's all about marketing and publicity. And
Right on. Now, Catherine, you mentioned to me on the pre-chat that you had something for the audience, but you didn't tell me what it was. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to hold on. So what is it? Because I've been waiting with bated breath about that. What do you have for our audience?
So we've been talking a lot today about vision And that's the whole futuristic thing, mm-hmm. and goals, which is the whole achievement and maximizer strengths. And so I have, from my very first book, which by the way was my hardest book to write because it was my first book and I didn't know what I was doing, but it did, I edited that thing to death and I had a lot of help and it ended up being a really fun book. And there's two chapters, one on vision, another on goal setting. And there, I think they could be so helpful for your listeners. If they liked what we talked about today, there are some actionable items in both of those chapters, and I'll put that up for free at makeeverythingfun.com/MYS.
Oh, say that for us one more time, because I know there's some people who are driving in the car or out running or at the gym. Say it for us one more time. What's the website?
It's makeeverythingfun.com/MYS. And that's all about vision and goal setting.
Oh, so good. I'm opting in too. I'm going to get it. I'm so excited. That's perfect. Well, Catherine, thank you so much. This was such an engaging, exciting conversation. And I knew it would be. And side note, you guys, our pre-chat was like 45 minutes. We just couldn't, like, oh, we need to push record. But it's so fun to talk to you. So fun to engage with you. I'm so glad that we are becoming friends. And I can't wait to see your next book and what the next thing is for you. So please do keep us updated. Let us know how you're doing. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Alyssa. And I'm so supportive of your work. It's wonderful.
Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Since my voice is cashed, I'm going to keep this nice and short. If you want to find out more about Catherine, find her links at strengthspodcast.com/111. Remember, you are uniquely poised and wired for success. As Donna Clifton said, your weaknesses will never develop, while your strengths will develop infinitely. Bye for now.